Thank you. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the first letter of Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the first day of the week, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I was listening to a science podcast recently, and I was intrigued to hear a report that said, "Research shows that people enjoy small talk a lot more than they think they will in advance." I know it's dangerous to start off any assertion with "research shows," but I decided not to go down that rabbit hole trying to find the research and examine its methodology and results. Instead, I found myself thinking about how much our society seems to go out of its way to make it possible to almost never have to make small talk or have almost any interactions with strangers. As far as I can tell, we Americans spend so much time in our cars and on our screens that we almost never have to interact with other people unless we want to. We can do our banking and grocery shopping and other errands, big and small, without speaking to or even laying eyes on another human being. And while this is incredibly convenient and efficient, it has almost certainly had the effect of making us lonelier, and I would argue, more intolerant. The less opportunity we have to bump up against each other in trivial, innocuous ways, the more likely we seem to be to experience encounters with strangers as threatening. I know I am guilty of avoiding dealing with people at times. When I travel by plane, for example, I stick my earbuds in as soon as I arrive at the airport, and I rarely make eye contact with anyone. I used to think of myself as a full-bore extrovert, but in the last few years, since the pandemic and the slow reopening of life, I consider myself now more of an extrovert with social anxiety. And I'm quite sure I'm not alone. As a society, we are out of practice with in-person, unplanned social events and interactions, especially if they involve strangers. It's a good thing that the disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't have access to earbuds, or even cars, for that matter. In all seriousness, traveling was a much more dangerous thing in the ancient world than it is today, and meeting a stranger on the road could be especially perilous for both parties. So it's undoubtedly significant that in today's gospel, the disciples specifically address Jesus, whom they do not yet recognize, as a stranger. The word stranger has deep implications in Scripture. In the Old Testament, there are dozens and dozens of of references to strangers, also called aliens or foreigners. It's usually about the same word. References to them as a protected class of vulnerable people, alongside groups like widows and orphans. The repeated assertion that God loves and cares for the stranger, and that the people of Israel must show justice and compassion to strangers because they too were strangers once in the land of Egypt, has led scholars to believe that in reality, strangers or aliens were mostly looked at with fear and suspicion. If there were no problems with the treatment of strangers, then God wouldn't have to keep telling people to treat them fairly and with kindness. Strangers are threatening, and strangers need protection. It's a curious double bind, and one that is precisely where Jesus chooses to place himself. Let's think about that. Just hours after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples on the road as a stranger. A stranger who is both a vulnerable person in need of protection and someone who is likely to be seen as threatening and so treated with suspicion, if not downright hostility. I'd like us to ponder this a little and tease out some questions. First, at a personal level, I wonder what it feels like for all of us to think of Jesus as a stranger. In most of our prayers and hymns, we are encouraged to call Jesus a friend, a brother, a savior, a healer, a teacher, and so on. But might there be some spiritual wisdom in also thinking of Jesus as a stranger? Is it part of seeing Jesus as fully human? Could it help us deal with those times when we feel like the stranger? Like the odd one out, even in the midst of family and friends. Going even a little deeper, are there some parts of ourselves that we don't fully recognize or understand? Some ways in which we can be strangers even to ourselves? Then we can pan out to the wider societal level of thinking about this. In our current political context, we are all too willing to see people as strangers and thus to demean or demonize anyone we categorize as an other. So let me be perfectly clear. There are political ramifications to the biblical directive to show kindness to strangers. And if how we treat strangers is a kind of an ethics test for a society, we are failing. In the big budget bill passed last year, programs like Medicaid were cut while spending for the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security were increased by billions of dollars. We as a country seem obsessed with keeping ourselves safe from strangers. Whether we imagine the stranger as another country, people out there whose cultures and languages and religions we are encouraged to belittle and revile, or whether we think of the stranger as people who are crossing our borders. The result is a seemingly endless series of wars. I just read that Gen Z, people roughly my kids' age, have never been in this country alive when there was not a war going on in some form. So an endless series of wars, as well as the brutal enforcement of policies that terrorize people in our streets, in schools and places of worship and courthouses, and even in our own homes. As I'm sure most of you know, the term for treating strangers with such fear-based hostility is xenophobia. And the opposite of that is another Greek word, xenophilia, love of strangers, which is often translated as simply hospitality, a word we all know. And I believe that the whole story of what happens on the road to Emmaus can be taken as a parable about hospitality. In this story, Jesus takes the biblical injunctions about hospitality to strangers and inhabits them. He enfleshes them by becoming a stranger himself, even to his closest friends. And, somewhat shockingly, the disciples behave as he taught them to in these circumstances. This might be the true Easter miracle. After his death, the disciples are faithfully following the example of Jesus. And so even though these disciples are encountering Jesus on the road as a stranger, they treat him with respect and generosity. They take his question seriously, sharing without equivocation what Jesus of Nazareth had meant to them. Given that this takes place only 3 days after Jesus was condemned and executed by their chief priests and leaders, using their words, the disciples are taking a risk here by placing themselves so firmly in the camp of those who had hoped this prophet would be the one to redeem Israel. It's a political risk, and it's an emotional risk. They are risking honesty and authenticity with a stranger. More evidence that the life and example of Jesus have changed them, even though they don't yet understand the resurrection. And then, when Jesus, the stranger, makes a move to go on his way, they urge him to stay with them, and they all gather together at table for a meal, the ultimate act of hospitality. We might even argue that it is only because the disciples have been embodying this ethic of xenophilia, of hospitality, that that Eucharistic moment finally happens. When Jesus takes the bread, blesses and breaks it and shares it, that is when, at last, the eyes of those gathered are opened and they see Jesus for who he is, a friend and not a stranger. Our evening prayer service has a collect that echoes this story. It reads, Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. This poignant prayer, based on today's gospel passage, speaks to a deep longing we all share to be seen and known and loved. The story of the road to Emmaus can encourage us to be more like the disciples and seek to find Christ in every stranger and in those close to us as well. Companions, after all, are those who break bread together. When we gather at the table, we not only share bread, we, in essence, become that bread, that body, which is to be blessed and broken and shared for the life of the world. There are no strangers around the communion table. Knowing that we are all intimately interconnected, sharing one bread and one cup, we can reach out in love and become companions to one another, walking the same road, bearing one another's burdens, and welcoming all as we seek to welcome Christ. May God grant this for the sake of his love. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we enter again the presence of our Lord Jesus, revealed in Scripture and the breaking of the bread, let us remember those who are near and those who are far, saying, O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, as we celebrate the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, remember all those who would serve before you in your church, especially Sean, our presiding bishop, Megan, our bishop, our parish clergy, our staff, and all the lay leaders of this church. O God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Risen Jesus, you are with us along the road of life. Remember all those who govern and hold authority in this world, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor of California, and our city and county officials. In this time of peril, grant your wisdom to leaders everywhere, and move hardened hearts to compassion, that true justice and peace may prevail. O God, in your mercy, Jesus, King of glory, by your death you have destroyed death, and by your rising to life you have given us newness of life. Remember all those struggling in the midst of death and war, pestilence and disaster, especially the peoples of Iran and the entire Middle East, Ukraine and Sudan. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of the table, you nourish us with bread and wine. With your very self and presence, grant that we may become your presence in the world and learn to nourish others, remembering those who are ill, hungry, or thirsty, those who are dying, in prison, or in misery. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord Jesus, you have been raised from the dead. Remember all who have died, for they will be made alive in you. We remember especially Russell St. Clair and Bill Burrell, and all those we name now, either silently or aloud. O God, in your mercy, Christ, our Passover, you died to sin once for all, and the life you live to God. We thank you that we are dead to sin and alive to God in you. We praise you and give you thanks for all other blessings of our lives. O God, in your mercy,
make our hearts burn within us, Lord Christ, as we walk with you on the road and listen to your words. Strengthen us with your presence and your truth in our journey, that at its end we may behold you in the glory of the eternal Trinity, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. You may be seated for the announcements. I think we have several new people here, or people who are not regulars. So if our ushers have, we have welcome bags, and our ushers are going to be looking for people who raise their hand to indicate that they're new. Anyone who's been here just a few times, even if you have not received a welcome bag, you want one, but you have to raise your hand so that our ushers know to bring one to you. So, okay. Our yellow sheet with announcements has a lot in it, as always. And if you thought things were going to slow down after Easter Sunday, they did not. So the first several announcements are about things happening today. I want to sort of go in order as much as I can. If you see the beautiful flowers in front of the altar, those were given in loving memory of Bill Burrell, who was our first rector here. He went on to be a bishop and serve in other capacities. And his ashes were inurned on Friday in a small service with his family. And today we are celebrating and remembering our friend Russell St. Clair. So after church, we leave everything as usual, I'll stick around and say hello to people, but then several of us will be going to the columbarium for a committal. anyone who wants to is welcome to come along for that. The service is very short. It's very lovely. And then there's going to be a really nice coffee hour. So whether you go to the committal or go straight into the parish hall, I hope you will stay for the coffee hour. We have lots of good food and just time to be together. It's actually outside. Is the food outside too? I feel like I'm looking for Janet, but yes, she's saying yes, the food is outside too. So head toward the parish hall, but you don't have to go inside. Okay, we also, after that today, are having a garden tour. This is something we've been talking about doing for a long time. We're making it happen. So we have some maps for people who want to go, so you can see how to get to the various gardens, and there's a little description of them. That way you can go in any order you want to. It's sort of a self-guided tour, and we hope that lots of you will enjoy that this afternoon. We have lovely weather for it. Okay, moving along. There's a lot else in here. There's especially stuff happening all throughout this week, leading up to next Sunday when we are essentially celebrating Earth Day. So there is stuff happening as soon as tomorrow for the Davis Interfaith Association. They're having their monthly meeting. This time is going to include a panel talking about faith, authority, and civil disobedience. I think that sounds really great. We have a racial reconciliation workshop coming up. It's one of the few times that the diocese is offering this in person. So I hope you will come to that. You do have to sign up for it. It's happening here on May 9th. And then lots and lots of things happening next Sunday. I really hope people will come next Sunday, especially at the 10 o'clock service. It's a fourth Sunday. We're going to be celebrating Earth Day. We'll have a sort of intergenerational, age-appropriate sermon. It'll be great. So I'm not going to read everything else, but please take this home with you, mark your calendars, etc. Hello, Grace. We had at least two.
At least
we had for celebrations and milestones. We heard about two anniversaries happening this week. We have Debbie Hawkins and Dan are celebrating a wedding anniversary, and Neil and Carol are celebrating.
No. Neil and Carol's son, Jonathan.
Neil and Carol's
son. And daughter-in-law, Sherry.
I knew. I was close. Okay. Sorry about that.
Almost.
It's
almost.
Their son and daughter-in-law who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Are there any other celebrations and milestones you wish to share? Yes. Your grandma and your aunt? Wow, birthdays galore. Great. Anything else before we say our celebrations and milestones prayer? Okay, great. So if you turn to page... I missed somebody. Oh, is it Grace? Your brother what? 6 months old. It's a half birthday. That's super cool. We love that. I don't count how many months my children are anymore. I can't do that kind of math, but it's really fun when they're little. All right, now I think we can turn to page 5 in our bulletins and say our celebrations and milestones prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion around the altar rail. If you're not familiar with how we do communion here, everyone is welcome to come forward to receive communion. You can sort of watch the people in front of you. We will help you if it's confusing. The main thing to know is that a priest will come and offer you a piece of bread, and you can either consume that and wait for the chalice with wine to come next, or you can let that bread stay in your hand, and when the chalice bearer comes by, they will take it and intinct it into the wine and hand it back to you to consume. Our bread is gluten-free, it's vegan. We really hope that everyone who feels called to come to the table will join us. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sins of the world. By Christ's death he has destroyed death, and by Christ's rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For in these last days you sent Jesus to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Christ you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In Christ you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember Christ's death. We proclaim Christ's resurrection. We await Christ's coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Savior of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through whom we are acceptable to you, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with blessed Martin and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have graciously accepted us as living members of our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Savior. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.